Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Kirin Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kirin Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Managing Director, Mr. Jay Shirani, Senior Manager, Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Suresh Gandolia, Company Secretary. I now request Mr. Manish Kiri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. I hope you are all keeping safe and well. During Q2 FY23, the industry experienced very sluggish demand driven by geopolitical tensions due to Russia-Ukraine war for more than 34 weeks. Additionally, China recently announced new COVID zero measures wherein 28 cities are implementing varying degrees of lockdowns, which made global dyes and dye intermediates products more volatile, impacting growth of the industry. During Q2 FY23, Kirin Industries Limited attained consolidated sales revenue of 242 crore, lower by 32% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss of 7 crores. Net loss for Q2 FY23 was 26 crores versus net profit of 12 crores in the same period of last financial year. Coming to the H1 numbers, company attained consolidated sales revenue of 519 crores, lower by 20% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss of 15 crores. Net loss for Q2 FY23 was 53 crores. For the first half versus net profit of 19 crores, right in the same period of last financial year. During the quarter, Kirin attained standalone sales revenue of 141 crore, lower by 47% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss of 32 crores against break-even in the same period last year. The net loss for the quarter was 44 crore as compared to the loss of 7 crores last year. For the half year, Kirin earned sales revenue of 312 crores, lower by 32% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss of 64 crores. Net loss for the first 6 months was 72 crores. During the quarter, the prices of raw materials, gas, fuel, which had increased during the preceding two quarters, have not reduced during the current quarter, which has impacted margins of all dyes intermediates units of the industry. The high legal costs also impacted margin during the quarter and half year. The payment cycle has also lengthened and inventory churning has decreased as a result of stagnant demand and unstable raw material prices. The company anticipates a smoothing of liquidity over the next few quarters and return to normalcy for the payable cycle over the next 2 to 3 quarters. In the matter of Dystar, where Kirin holds 37.57%, the Supreme Court of Singapore has given judgment on 6 July 2022 in SIC4. Kirin has prevailed on the issues of Supreme Court with regards to 19% discount for the lack of marketability and quantum of license fees for the wrongful exploitation of the patent. The Supreme Court had remanded the matter back to Singapore International and Commercial Court to give an effect to the decisions and to determine the quantum of license fees based on available evidences submitted by both the parties and for reversal of DLOM. As per the direction of SICC, related submissions from the parties had been completed and final valuation order is awaited. The judgment was also reserved. In another appeal against court order of SICC dated 8 December 2021, hearing at Supreme Court of Singapore had been completed on September 16, 2022, and order from the Supreme Court of Singapore is reserved and awaited. In SICC 7, Kiri and Diestar had filed appeal against SICC order with regard to preferred supply status to Kiri. SICC had rejected Kiri's claim related to be treated as preferred supplier against Diestar while their order dated September 24, 2021. The hearing of appeal at Supreme Court of Singapore had been completed on 22nd September and order is reserved and awaited. Kiri has been keeping an eye on the world market for the dyes and has been actively taking steps to mitigate challenging market conditions and reduce cash losses. Company is working to ensure that its product mix is optimal in order to boost overall margins, allowing the business to absorb its fixed costs and make a big step forward, achieving normalized revenues and EBITDA in the upcoming quarters. As I mentioned, operational margins are currently negative, but we expect it to turn positive once the world market stabilizes and the demand increases. With that, I would now like to open the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Varma Shetty Suresh from Varams Financials. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, good afternoon. Good morning, sir. Give the opportunity. Hello.
Yes.
Sir, I last two conference call I will participate, sir. You remember, Suresh?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, actually, the Supreme Court case is September. We can expect a complete decision. I'm not asking about. You can expect any time delay. What is the reason, sir?
I think, we have been quite actually following up on the final number and the final judgment from SICC. And as I mentioned in my speech, all the submissions got completed on August 29th. And we were expecting that at least in a month or two, the judgment should come from SICC. But somehow, maybe due to their internal court process, the delay happened and we continue to await. Now it has already been more than 2 months, actually 2.5 months by this time, from the submissions which got completed on August 29. So we hope that any day, any time, the final judgment has to come from SICC regarding the valuation number. So let's hope that it is announced that from the court on any day.
Okay. Actually, sir, it is voluntary, is not delaying the court. No, it is not.
I think it's a generalized delay in court. And there is no particular or specific reason for the delay. neither court gave any further instructions to submit anything more, right? So it was only the general delay that the court is experiencing and we are experiencing for the same. So there's nothing specific reason that has caused this delay.
Sir, you can not a legal action, but any delay of so much time, you can take any action to write rights in taken the action to delay the issue. And chances is there, you can any action taken. Is it?
You mean we write to the court? That's what you are asking? Or
Yes, sir. I can understand.
Based on the protocol, now the legal counsels of Kiri or the legal counsels of Senda, once the judgment is reserved, there is no system to follow up. Okay, so we just need to wait and keep patience till the judgment comes. There is no process of filing anything to follow up on the judgments which are already reserved. So I think we have no choice but to keep patience, and it is actually testing your patience, our patience, everybody's patience.
And okay.
There is no procedure to write to the court once the judgment is reserved.
Actually, your legal panel is there in Kiri, but your panel, what time expected? Any day or any time is unexpected? Sorry, you are also waiting.
Yeah, any day. Everybody is waiting. Any day.
Sir, actually, okay, Dashtar is case is okay, but in this standalone Kiri, you will give a turnaround performance. How much time takes it? It is only depend on Kiri continue loss making in standalone. Without Dystar, after Dystar court judgment is completed, you can get the money. After standalone Kiri financially turnaround, how much time take? You can take any steps to individually standalone you can grow.
See, very correct questions actually, and even before the Dystar firms come, standalone has to turn around, and standalone has been impacted due to several reasons. Market dynamics is one reason, our continuing heavy legal expenses is second reason, and third reason is high volatility in the prices of input raw materials. Correct. So these are broadly speaking three reasons impacting our financials, but we are working continuously to improve, and hopefully in the next quarter or two, you will see a turnaround, because we are rationalizing a lot of products. We may discontinue certain products temporarily. We may change certain products temporarily. We may reduce our cost in terms of employees, which is happening as we speak. So we are trying to make certain changes to reduce the losses and to break even as soon as possible, even before it has nothing to do with the Dystar proceed funds. This we have to do anyway. And if you look at the consolidated EBITDA, as I mentioned even in last quarter also, because the raw materials go to Longshan Kiri and then the group company sells to the customers, which is consolidated into Kiri. And if you look at that level, EBITDA losses is 7 crore. So we will shortly bridge, and next quarter you will see that it is not there. We are working on it right now. So we would do it even before that.
Before judgment.
Before the
Dystar
funds come.
Okay. Sir, actually, Kiri, after Dystar amount received, Dystar, you are not dependent on any Kiri products in Dystar business tie-up? After...
So, Kiri is not selling any products to Dyson as on today also.
As on today. Is there any legal expenses in further chances?
No legal actions further, no cases further. I think once this judgment is out, you know, there is no pending legal actions, or there is no any other actions related to minority operation and buyout. There is no further legal proceedings left, nothing now. It's only to realize this and enforce the order, you know, whenever it comes. That's the only legal action which will take place going forward, is pertaining to enforcing the order.
Sir, one small doubt, sir. It is not a company issue, but generally I can talk to market. So many investors in Kiri, and some in social media rumors. Kiri is some play with the Dice Star case, or FPI is already, they have taken 10 rupees or 20 rupees share. You can sold it. Any mutual fund is not interested to take investment in Kiri. Just is it is a social media rumors, but you cannot misunderstand. Just I am asking as a investor. What is that issues? You can just clarify the your side. Please don't misunderstand. Please give the replies.
Such kind of social media rumors are non-factual. They are false, and which has nothing to do with the facts. Okay, so these are not only incorrect; these are baseless and nothing, no truth related to them actually.
Okay, sir, you can also eagerly waiting. Please, best wishes to receive the.
Thank you. We also eagerly wait like you. Thank you.
You can expect much time, sir. Any day, any time. You can at least to November month ending will complete. Chances is there.
Mr. Suresh, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request you to return to the question queue as we have.
Thank you, madam. Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Mr. V.P. Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And Manishi, just clarifying your comments on the Singapore case, you are saying that the DLOM and the patent issues will be sorted out anytime. Is that correct? And then there are a couple of other court cases which are also pending.
No, for the valuation related judgment which Supreme Court ordered in our favor and overturned on two points, as you rightly said, DLOM and the patent license fee, so that judgment would come at any day, any time right now, okay, from SICC giving effect to the Supreme Court's decision. Now that's the main judgment. Besides that, there were two other cases which got concluded again in the Supreme Court in appeal. One was related to the legal cost. If you look at the previous judgments, there was a legal cost related judgment of $8.11 million plus interest. And the other party went to appeal against that. That matter and that hearing also got concluded in September. Judgment is reserved and awaited right now. There was a third side case, so these are side cases. There was a third side case which again went also to appeal from Kiri side, where there was a side case Kiri filed against Dystar, not Senda, about not treating Kiri as a preferred supplier and defaulting the Sarol's agreement. So that was earlier 2 years ago ordered against Kiri, and that was dismissed. And Kiri went to appeal against the order in the Supreme Court. That case, that side case also got completed in September, and the judgment is now reserved and awaited. So even side cases are completed in Supreme Court now.
I understand. And I think in the last con call, you said that because of the DLM ruling coming in our favor, we should get approximately $600 million from Sandra. Is that correct or that figure has changed?
Oh, that is correct. That is correct. See, DLOM number is very clear in the court's documents. DLOM is very clear in the earlier judgment. Even if you read the judgment of June 2021, you will see the DLOM number. And that would be completely reversed. So there is no debate on DLOM. The only number which SICC had to decide was the patent license fee number. And the submission which got completed on August 29 was only pertaining to the patent license fee and nothing else. And that number was having a range from 1 million, which was awarded earlier and overturned by Supreme Court, and another number from Kiri side was 40 million. So now it's up to the court to divide and pick any number between 1 and 40, and whichever number they pick, right, it would be more than 600 anyway.
I see. So 600 million is just for the valuation of our state plus the patent fee that could come anywhere between 1 million to 40 million.
Yes, yes. So whatever number is up to the judges to decide, and that would be the number in addition to 600, correct?
Understood. Okay. And then on the business front, you know, you have been slowly ramping up your plans on the specialty chemicals side. So any update on that front?
Yes. See, we unfortunately, no, we tried to add several products. We tried to even first phase of our specialty intermediates are already operational. Somehow we entered into a phase where market has not been supporting. And that we see on the result fronts. And I think the ultimate dependency on textile is affecting, you know, by chain effect on, you know, on the demand side. Just to give you some numbers, usually India exports every month reactive dyes to the tune of 18 to 20,000 ton. And last 4 months, the numbers indicate only 10,000, 10,500. So we are running at 50% demand, and that is affecting our fixed cost per unit, and that is what we are trying to address on immediate basis currently. So even though our facilities are operational, even though you know, we have certain products which would be now adding more margins to us, but due to market slackness, and the price issue, we are not able to get fruits. But let's hope that things change in the next quarter or two.
So, is the expectation that your you know, profitability has now bottomed out at least at the EBITDA level, and at the console level, in Q3 and Q4 we should see positive EBITDA numbers?
Absolutely. You will see the now we are bottoming out, and you will see the change which will be happening at a beta level, on console level as well as standalone. Again, please take in mind that even in this quarter also, and the earlier quarters, our running legal expenses are ranging somewhere between 14 crore to 18 crore. Right. So, when you add that on console basis, you will have profit instead of 7 crore loss. But unfortunately, those legal expenses would continue if we, this quarter it would be lower, but once we enter into enforcement phase, again, they are going to be there, maybe slightly lower number, but we will see the continuity of legal expenses.
So if you can talk about a little more on this enforcement process, what will it look like? Because once the Supreme Court has given the judgment, Senda has to pay up, right? So if you can just give us more color on what you expect, how it will unfold.
I will see the way the process will follow is once the final number is announced and given by SICC, there would be, you know, there would be certain time, and there is a 21 days notice that we would need to issue the legal for the recovery of the amount. Okay, so that will happen immediately as soon as the result is out, and Sanda is supposed to honor the judgment as early as possible within 21 days. And if it is not honored, then we will have to go back to court, and then we will have to induct and request court to intervene in the enforcement.
Understood. Thank you so much. And if I have more questions, I'll come back in with you.
Sure, Rajeshji. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you, Yogesh, please.
Yeah. My first question was basically around China. So what would be our dependency in terms of percentage in imports as well as exports to China?
Right. See, currently exports to China is very, very minimum. And it is next to nothing. While import dependency on China on certain products are still there. To give you an average, at least 20 to 25% of the requirements of raw materials continue to be coming from China, being served from China as on today. So that dependency is continuing on certain products. There are areas in which on the finished product sales also we have competition from China. And for example, prices of HSA today has been drastically reduced in China, and some other intermediates also drastically reduced in China. And that is putting backward pressure on Indian producers to match those prices. And that's how even the global prices, due to the competition, has gone down to bottom. So to the extent that those are non-profit making and certain loss generating price levels have come. Unfortunately, due to lack of demand and excess supply, we have reached to this level.
And sir, I assume that the raw material would be coming through sea route. So from which ports, it's like we only operate through Shanghai port, or it's like which ports do we operate through?
There are several ports. One is Shanghai, and then another port where we get a lot of material is Ningbo. So it also coming from Ningbo. And one more port. I think there are Tianjin is also there. Cyanuric chloride and certain raw materials are coming from Tianjin. So there are several ports we import from China. Fortunately, freights have come down. So sea freights from China have been reduced. And they are almost half compared to the peak levels that we experienced earlier. Certain naphthalene and naphthalene derivatives, still China dependency is there. And metaphylene diamine and its derivatives, still China dependency is continuing.
And sir, lastly on this, the China factor basically. So in October, there was news on closing of these ports because of COVID. And recently, some ports have reopened and the traffic has resumed. So has they reopened? Like, what is the current status as of now?
I think there was a lot of hitch up and disruption when Shanghai was closed, if you remember, a few months back, right? And then certain goods were diverted from other ports, but now it's smoothing out and getting regularized. So situation is much better now from Chinese port operations compared to what was a month or two back. So yes, it has improved significantly now. Earlier, after placing orders, we were estimating at least 2.5-3 months. Now we can expect material to come in 1.5 months, 1 month to 1.5 months. So it is coming on track, actually.
Sure, but there is still some delay in the transit.
There is some delay, and sometimes transit ports cause delays to the extent of 20 days, 25 days, things like that. So those transit problems are still continuing.
And sir, lastly, on the raw material front, so there has been this price correction in commodities. So when will we see the benefit of the decline in commodity prices for us?
The major commodity prices which we depend on are the prices, for example, related to caustic soda. I mean, the caustic prices reduced from 70 rupees to 60 rupees, but comparatively still much higher. Similarly, prices of sulfur went down to 8 rupees and then increased back to 16-17 rupees. Soda ash reduced from peak of 46 rupees to 36-37, but still continuing to be at higher level. So those commodity prices which relate to our business are not crashed, actually have been still continuing at relatively higher level.
Okay, so sir, this 8 rupees to 16 rupees sulfur prices and caustic soda, this you are comparing between Q2 and current quarter?
These have increased from Q2 to the current quarters, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering the question. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address all the questions from the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Namit Mehta from KC Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm good, Namitji. How are you?
Good. Just a couple of questions, Manisha, from my side.
Yes.
So first is, I know that you had hired a few new people for the new projects over the last couple of years. Are these
right.
people still in the organization? And if yes, then what are they doing as we wait for the
proceeds? They are still there in the organization. They are still working on several project analysis. So they are still there. And everyone is waiting for the funds to realize from Singapore. I think, implementation of the next phase of projects would wait. And they are working on, for example, various fronts. So they are working on environment clearances, for example. They are working on technology evaluations and technology tie-ups. They are working on further reducing capital investments on each project, what can be done. So all the paperwork and the clearance work is going on, but not the implementation of the project side.
Okay, got it. And just one further question on the capital allocation side here. Two parts to this. One, any further thought on the dividend / buyback post proceeds? Any sense on the quantum that you would like to distribute? And then as a corollary to that, a more sort of macro level question on capital allocation here, where you've historically deployed a few hundred crore in operational business. Now you're going to get 5,000 crore potentially through the court award. You've talked about levering up on that as well. So maybe 6,000-8,000 crore. So what sort of gives you the confidence of deploying such large sums of money when that's not really been the case historically?
Right. See, the first, we never had this kind of money historically, right? So there was never need historically. Historically, we have been in the business of dyes and intermediates, and we do not intend to deploy this funds into the current business because it is not required. Besides, 100, 200 crore of working capital, there is no further deployment would be made in dyes and intermediates industry because it is not needed. So entire chunk of money for future projects would be of a different scale, of a different size, and it would make sense to have and create, as I repeatedly said earlier, a different platform for Kiri. So it would be a transformative platform, And with that, there is no prior experience. But the team which would be deployed, the new management bandwidth for these projects which would be hired, would have a lot of experience to implement, run and operate this size of businesses. So we have aspirations to do that. And hence, coming to your first question, we would deploy majority of the funds in projects phase-wise. It's not like we will start, you know, 3-4 different projects at a time, but we would be slowly, meticulously and prudently deploy funds for the larger projects, for the larger size of businesses in future, and some portion would again given back to shareholders, either dividend or buyback. Now, what could be that quantum, again, is not decided yet, but as soon as the number comes out, we will deliberate and definitely the board will decide that number. So I not able to give you a specific number, but yes, there would be a number to it.
Okay, and just to, you know, sort of understand that a little bit more, you know, given that the profiles of the new businesses will be pretty different from the existing business, why not sort of return a larger portion to investors and reinvest them through you see, non-listed entities or independent entities? Why do that within the frame of Kiri, given that, you know, they're going to be businesses in different industries, not necessarily linked to the core dyes business?
Right. So, the way we structure those new investments through new subsidiaries and the separate value creations can take place, we see the fundamental reason to ramp up and to change the platform of Kiri with this one once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is for the benefit of shareholders. We would be entering into the projects that would be giving us much better return than you know, than what the financial securities or others may earning would earn for the company. So we would do these projects only if we see the you know, the return on investment and return on equity for the shareholders are substantially better than the other options. And if we see that, you know, the return on equity or return on investment are not high, we may decide otherwise to give back. It all depends on, you know, what kind of returns we are able to generate to the shareholders with this chunk of money.
Okay, sure. And then last question. Manisha,
may we request you to return to the question queue, sir? We have many participants waiting for that.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nishant Maheshwari, fellow investors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. I'm CN Nishant. Sir, my question is related with Para 260 allowed to Kiri respect to O288 instrument fee, where the court has, where SIPC has allowed earlier 12.6 question proposed as per the high court method. So in our submission, what is the value which we have seen from the court with respect to the valuation? Is it in the range of $40 million? So 591 plus $40 million is the total value which we have seen from the court. I mean $631 million.
Yes. Yeah, so you look at that para, and which the DLOM specific number is mentioned, correct? So you add that to 481.
Yes, DLOM is not a dispute. Yeah. DLOM is not a dispute, because if we add DLOM amount, it comes to $591 million. And when we talk about this 4288 notional fee, what is the valuation which we have seek from the court?
Right, so our side number in the court was 40 million. Court earlier awarded was 1 million, which Supreme Court has reversed and reverted back to SICC to decide between any number between 1 to 40. So as you rightly said, whatever number judges decide between 1 and 40 based on the existing evidences before the court, and whatever number that the court finds appropriate, that number would be added to that, and that would be the range. That is the range, between 1 and 40. Correct.
1 and 40. Okay, sir. What is the role of the company in Mauritius? We have incorporated in 2009 a company called Kiri International Mauritius Limited. So it was named as a defendant company in hearing when I checked in SICC site. So what is the role of this company and what is the present status of this company?
That company was closed in 2012. Okay, and it was open in 2009 to acquire Diastar through Mauritius step down subsidiary of Singapore. So in 2009. Kiri Holding Singapore was formed, which was then changed to Diastar Global Holding, and original idea was to have a step down subsidiary in Mauritius, and then Mauritius acquired Diastar entities in 2010. So that was the intent. It was open in 2009, but then the Singapore entities acquired Diastar directly from Germany, so it was not required. And then 2012, that entity was closed. But one share was there during that time. And that is the reason that you see that name during the acquisition time appearing in the court documents.
So right now, shares are held with Kiri Industries India or with the subsidiary?
Kiri India.
Kiri India. Okay. What is the cash level of Diastar and the value of associated companies?
Well, the
are they comfortable in honoring the judgment?
Yeah, the cash level of Diastar, based on our understanding, by end of December would be more than 500 million, and there are no bank loans in Diastar.
This is the operator, so we've lost the connection for Mr.
Okay, I think the voice is lost.
Yeah, so we take the next question from the line of Mr. Purav Shah from Parsang Enterprise. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Manish sir.
Good morning, Purav.
My question had to do with the project that we're looking at with the new capital that we are expecting. Just wanted to understand, is there a reason we are looking at such a wide range of projects instead of concentrating on maybe one or two? Because it's unprecedented to see success in so many projects simultaneously under one roof.
You are absolutely right. We are looking at, you know, number of projects and evaluating number of options. It's not one or two. So we still not decided which projects we will commence and which project we would select. There is a separate committee the board has formed, and that committee will review the projects when time comes and make prudent decision where to invest and which projects to invest in. So we are still at an evaluation side, and we are evaluating number of projects. The separate project teams are evaluating, you know, the large number of options. And not limited to few projects. Absolutely.
Okay, but just following up on that, like if, let's say, you like five projects, is there a limit to the number of new ventures you'll be looking at, like one, two, five, how many ever it could be, or is it open as of now that how many ever projects we like that are feasible that we go ahead with?
See, we are open with which projects. And it could not be one or two, it should be multiple, so we diversify our risk. But we choose a project which makes the best business sense and which has the best earning potentials for the shareholders.
Okay, and just another question. On your balance sheet, the payables, the trade payables keep going up. So is there any reason that it's now close to 300 crores? That number is increasing quarter on quarter.
So if you recall, you know, company had an obligation by September end to pay 68 crore. Okay, mm-hmm. It was the pre-settled debt, and that has gone now. So some of the working capital funds were utilized to pay the pre-settled liabilities, and all the ARC loans which have been there in the company since last almost say 7-8 years all have been repaid. So we are from that sense completely out of that debt.
Okay, so next, in the coming few quarters, this should drastically improve, right, then?
Yeah, it will improve. There's nothing else. It will improve.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Jay Bhatija from JV Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jay.
Sir, my question is repeated to last quarter only. We have been expecting the judgment and the company's business to improve, but somehow we are always getting the same reply that we will improve from next quarter or something good with some environment will change. But when can we expect the it to be seen in the results? When can we see the results turning profitable for the company?
See, let me put it this way. You know, currently the market situation and the dynamics of dyes and intermediate industries are uncertain. Right, so when we are hopeful and when we give you a positive outlook, it is based on certain improvement assumptions. But to be honestly with you, the markets continue to remain uncertain. And as you can see, the entire export of dyes from India is at half level. Correct. Now, in such a scenario, you can understand that even the textile sector has been doing slow and not well domestically. So we hope and we try to make certain changes internally to improve the numbers and to improve the bottom line. But top line, whether we would be improve or not, it's still uncertain, right? So you said very rightly, but unfortunately from operation side, the reality is uncertain. Now, the second part of your question about the court judgments. And as I mentioned, before, once the judgment is reserved in Singapore courts, there is no specific timeline that it would be announced or given. So, as on today, we have 3 reserved judgments sitting in Singapore Supreme Court as well as International Commercial Court. But we can only hope that it will come in a reasonable time, and based on that hope we give you a guidance that it should come. But the fact and the reality is it can come maybe today after our call is over, or it cannot come even for next 1 month also, which I have neither idea nor visibility, nor our counsels and lawyers have any idea of when it would come. Right, but we can only make a statement based on the expectations. Now, if you look at certain judgments of the July onwards or August onwards in international court, they have come. Certain judgments, but our judgment has not come. Right. Now, so that's the reason that we wish to give you a good news. But somehow, the system and the judiciary is testing our patience.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And my second question is, we have a lot of time to decide what all projects we want. So have we shortlisted any 2 or 3 projects, or still the company is under survey to shortlist any project?
The company will continue to survey, and it is best interest of the company to continue to survey till we have visibility of the funds. Right.
Okay.
Anything if we freeze now and after 1 or 2 years, when the implementation starts and if the market changes, you should not be retrospectively regretting your decision. So that is the reason that we would continue to evaluate rather than biasing ourselves to 1 or 2 specific projects. And then we will make a decision at an appropriate time. And as I mentioned, there is a separate committee created under board and which will continue to review all the projects that the management evaluate.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you very much. Reminder to all the participants to please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Kalpesh Verma, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Kalpesh bhai. Bolo, bolo.
Sir, last year, same quarter earnings phone call, I asked you when the promoters are going to increase their stake in the company. You mentioned that very soon. Already 1 year has passed, so why the delay? Whether this price is not favorable for the promoter or what?
See, it all depends on where promoters can have access of funds, Kalpesh bhai, right? So promoters have been very keen even today also to increase stake, but you know it all depends on how promoters are able to arrange and infuse funds, correct? So that is where the delay has happened, but again the intention and the eagerness continue to be increase stake as soon as we can.
Okay. And next one is that during quarter 3, quarter 4 phone call in FY21, you said that once Senda goes into the appeal for the SICC order, you will ask the court for part portion of the amount to be transferred to the court. Something like that was the narrative. What happened on that portion?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Means during the SICC order in 3rd June 2021, before that you were saying that when Senda goes to the appeal for this main case, 483 million, which was awarded, you said that you will ask the court for the part portion of the buyout money to be transferred to the court or escrow like that for the guarantee purpose.
So what happened after that, after June 2021, there were two, there were two things which happened. One is to go and file an appeal in the Supreme Court, and second was to get a stay on the enforcement of June 21 order, correct? And Senda has not been able to, has not secured a stay on the SICC order of June 21. So technically Senda is running in continuous default since June 21 because not being able to secure a stay. Now Kiri wanted Senda to give some money, put some escrow, and without that the stay should not be granted, and that never happened. Okay. So they could never secure stay, and even today they are technically running default for more than 1 year and 3 months.
Okay.
Right. Now the appeal was admitted, an appeal admission was a different process, and Supreme Court of Singapore did admit the appeal, being one of the large and one of the bigger cases running in Singapore High Court and Supreme and the International Court. But eventually today, because they are not able to secure stay, Kiri can claim that, you know, they have the contempt of court because of not being able to honor for such a long time.
Okay, so any assurance has been taken from the Senda that they will make the payment as soon as now the SICC gives the judgment, within 21 days?
No, there is no timeline or there is a statutory recovery timeline of 21 days. Okay. So 21 days is a legal general timeline, and that is the practice that we will have to follow.
So after that, you are sure that you have to go for the enforcement order?
Yes, up to them. So if they don't pay in 21 days, then you have to start the enforcement process.
So post enforcement order, how much timeline you are expecting within which the payment will be received?
Well, that depends on the court, how much time court gives them. So the way the process usually follow is the court will take control, and then depending on hearing them, court will then decide, what would be the time to be given or not to be given any time. It depends on that.
Okay. So
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kalpesh. May we request you to rejoin the question queue, sir? We have other participants waiting for their turn.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Dharmendra Jakodia, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Kiri.
Good morning, Dharmendra ji, please.
We are an investor in our company from like 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
Now the only question arises because the promoter holding is only 27%. And if you are expecting such a big amount from Singapore court, why don't the promoter start buying from the market so that the investor get the confidence? Any plan on that?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, we are always keen to increase our stake, and you will see in future, but I cannot commit you on any timelines, number one. Number two, buying from the market by promoters also depends on, you know, the funds availability with promoters, correct? And currently that is not there, so that is the reason that promoters and promoters buying from the market or promoters increasing their stake, right, may is work in progress, and at appropriate time you will see what happens. I cannot give you any specific answer right now, but only thing I can say is that promoter is extremely keen and very much having interest to increase their stake.
Because as an investor, we should have some confidence, because we always see at 12 rupees when the FCCB was converted, and there is always a fear that FPI will sold off the entire stake and the investor will not get any money out of it.
See, it depends on the holders, right? And if they sell, they sell. So it's not in company's control or anybody.
I agree with you, because see, we are only concerned if the promoters are...
Right. So, irrespective of the stake of the promoters,
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I think we lost the connection for Mr. Dharmendra. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohit, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Recently, there have been a certain investor who has been systematically selling the shares daily. Has the management have tried to have a call with them to understand why are they losing faith in the company and are continuously selling the shares?
No, there is no discussion. There has been no discussion. Neither the company or the management has approached them, and I don't think that is a practice. I think whoever wants to buy, whoever wants to sell, is their own decisions. We do not intend to interfere in that.
Okay, okay. And sir, can we expect TV to be profitable for the financial year 23 on a consolidated level?
Well, on consolidated level, profitability will be there.
Okay.
Yeah, by the end of the year.
Okay. And sir, lastly, one general comment as an investor I have with respect to Kiri is, so generally, as a shareholder investor, any company sees positive movement, even if there is a rumor that something is going to happen. But for Kiri India, there is no rumor. There is a 100% surety that Kiri India will receive a huge amount of money within one day or within one year. But still, we do not see that positive movement from the shareholders. I don't know what is missing, but I think management should try to understand. Probably something is missing from management. But there is definitely something missing that even after 100% surety that we are going to receive such a huge amount, shareholders do not see that positivity.
I think I can only make assessment what you can make. And one of the reasons, you know, is the investors and even us also as a management and the company expected since 2015 beginning to get the Singapore court issues get resolved in 2 to 3 years. Okay? And it has been now 8 years. From 2023 beginning onwards, we'll be entering into a 9 year of legal battle. Correct? Now this 9 years and the extended delays after delays, then the one hearing, then the COVID, and then the appeals, and then the side cases, you see, so 9 years have tested everyone's patience, and then the, you know, and because of that, I think there is a market perception when it would come and when the company will have the next phase of growth, in which year, when 9 years have passed, See, there's always a negative feeling about it. I think that is what is affecting the share price. If you ask me honestly, that is what I can interpret. And it is rightfully so. So the market would naturally think that let us believe when the money comes. Correct? Now,
yes.
as on today, do I know that the money will come in December? No. Now, do I know that the money will come 1 year from now? No, I don't know. Correct? Do I know that the Longshan would honor the judgment or not? I have no visibility whether they intend to judgment or the judgment or not. So, with all these uncertainties, the market and shareholders' perception would be not incorrect, saying that let us see what actual result comes in the end out of 9 years legal battle. And we ourselves were thinking that, well, by 2018, you know, the cases would be over and we'll have finality of the judgment and out of this legal mess. Then 2019, 2020, it should definitely happen. The legal counsel say that it is outer limit we should be able to go through the court process. 2021 also passed and we are ending now 2022. So see, that's where the basically patients run out, correct?
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Rohit, may we request you to please rejoin the question queue? Thank you.
Thank you.
Reminder to the participants, please limit your question to two per participant. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Pramod Kataria, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Manish bhai.
Yes, Pramod bhai, please.
Yeah, I have a question. This is a follow-up question. Now, as you are saying, this court battle has been going on for 9 years. So, I am also being invested in your company since 2014-15. And
yes.
Now everyone is aware. Now it's a fact that the company is going to receive 5,000 plus crores. Okay?
Correct.
Now, stage by stage, SICC, then what do you call the appeals, and a lot of things happened, valuations. It took a lot of time. Now it's a fact. No one can deny that the company is going to receive 5,000 plus crores.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then why no one is interested? If it would have been a some other group like Tata or any, by that matter, any big valuation metrics and revaluation would have happened, why no one is interested in steel industries at the moment? Whether have you not done anything like to improve the perception or like whatever it has to be done by the promoter group only that to give the confidence and a lot of things. 5,000 crores, 2,500 crores is the market cap of the company. 5,000 crores, we are going to receive the amount. The book value itself will go about 1,100. Right now, the book value is at 496 rupees. The book value will be at 1,100. Why no one is interested?
I think the same question I have what you have, correct? So I have no clue and no idea, you know, why the shareholders do not want to put in. I am aware of what is happening, and you are also educated well enough. You also know that the cases have been completed, Supreme Court hearings have been completed, numbers are getting crystallized, maybe 10, 20 million plus minus, but broadly the numbers are there. But still the enough interest has not been generated. All this information which you have, all in public domain, right? And repeatedly, whenever we interact with the investors community or the analyst community, we have explained again and again, and all evidences are there in public domain. So still, you know, if the valuation doesn't come and our valuation remain undervalued, that's only the market can explain. As a promoter and the management, I wish that the valuation comes, same as you. You know, after knowing all these things, as educated investor, how you know, but somehow it is not there, which is reality as on today.
Mr. Pramod?
I think we lost him.
I think we lost his line, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Management will make the closing comments. Manisha, all over to you.
I thank all of you for sparing your time and for participating in today's call. I'll discuss with you next quarter, hopefully with better numbers and better results. We'll see you next quarter. All the best. Keep well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Research Bytes, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.